There is a village in southwest China where song takes the place of the written word. Those voices are imitating cicadas in the fields above the village of Diman. The village has been isolated, hard to get to. But like most places in modern China, it's learning that the greater world is not so far away. People in Diman learn to read and write in the official national language, Mandarin Chinese, but they also speak in their own tongue, the language of the Dong people. In the West, we spell that D-O-N-G. Novelist Amy Tan has been a frequent visitor to the village of Diman, and she writes about it in National Geographic magazine. The May issue is devoted to China. Tan sat down with us to recall the first time that she set foot in Diman.
Entering into the village, I had little girls singing those songs, those Dong songs, a welcoming song, one at each elbow.
The singing, this isn't just the welcoming for the tourists. This isn't the job of the children to sing every time somebody arrives. It's what they do.
In one way, you know that it's more than just something they do for tourists, because every child from the age of 5 on up knows how to sing, and they sing on key. You see them singing in school. You can stop somebody on the side of the road and say, "Can you sing me a song?" And they will start singing. Children sing to greet and also to talk about spring and to talk about the seasons. There's a song about childhood is too short. The birds have come to sing their song. It's now time to go into the field. Childhood is over. They sing songs about community, about the ways that they treat one another. Many of the songs are about nature, just as the cicada one is about nature. Listening to nature, there's a lot about being out in the field working and realizing that even though your life is very hard and you are working constantly and it never stops, no matter what the season or the weather, there is this beauty.
You write about the one granny in the village who still knows the big song, the number one song, the history of the people of Diman.
There's a song that's Diman's history, and it goes for hours. Mm-hmm. And it was passed down orally, of course, person to person. This woman can sing most of those stanzas, and you make part of it as you improvise. There's another woman in the village who can sing part of it. So this is the only woman who knows the whole history of the village. I asked young people throughout my stay there about the songs that they sing. And they can sing a lot of the popular ballads, but they didn't want to learn that song. There was a couple, two couples on a bridge, Lover's Lane, smooching. And I asked them what they like to sing, karaoke. I asked them about their other songs. Yes, they do sing the cicada songs. They love those songs. How about the song of the history of their village? That song is boring. I said, would you ever learn it? No, I don't think so. So it was a very sad feeling that I had as I listened to this woman sing the song over dinner again the next night, that she would probably be the last person to know this song.
Well, Amy Tan, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
That's novelist Amy Tan talking with us about the Dong ethnic minority of China in the village of Diman in southwest China. You can find a link to her National Geographic article about the village at npr.org/music. And while you're online, click over to our special All Things Considered China Diary. It's a blog set up to hear from you about what interests you about the country. We're planning to spend a week on the air from there next month. So go to npr.org/China Diary.
look. The orchestra's getting ready. Dance with me, George.
The music of German DJ DeFaz is, well, a bit hard to categorize. He calls it jazz with a turntable. DeFaz samples and remixes music he finds just about anywhere, from Ella Fitzgerald hits to 10-cent flea market records. And the outcome is both surprising and seamless. DeFaz is known as Pitt Baumgartner when he's not turning tables in dance clubs, and he joins us now from his studio in Ladenburg, Germany. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
How would you describe what you do?
Well, I would say, first of all, it's a collage thing. I must say I'm not the world's best composer and or musician, but I love to bring things together which normally don't fit. That makes it very interesting to me. So it's a collage. I think music should serve somebody. Personally, I'm very tired of somebody wants to tell me the truth about something. So my music is more like it joins you while you're doing something. It gives you space to not listen to it immediately or constantly. But if you listen to it constantly and deeper, you should have some little pearls to find out.
Let's listen to a little bit more of your music. This one is called Next Message, and it's from God's Dog.
I think it's a typical collage album. So you change your style over the years, but God's Dog is very close to collage because I mixed up very old sounds or sounds from different areas of the world, and yeah, it comes very close to collage.
Your latest project is a solo album. Typically, you work with big groups. Were you just ready to take a break? Why the solo thing?
Well, from time to time, you have to have a break, especially after a tour. You have to have a break from the people or from the concept. And DeFaz is, beside me, is a band concept. We have two singers, Carl Frierson from South Carolina and Pat Appleton. She's half African and half German. And I'm used to work in a concept, means I have to sometimes create songs because the people have to have something on stage. But if you don't have that concept, you have more freedom to work beside formats.
Well, let's hear something from this new album, Tales of Trust. This is a piece called No Song. Where did that song come from?
Well, first of all, you have something like those actors from a no theater. No song means no theater from Japanese theater.
N-O-H, right.
Right, you don't miss the H, it's very important. So what I like is bringing that atmosphere of that theater in a completely different environment. And it's just like things fall into your hands and then you try this and you try that. And at a certain point, the song gives you the direction. The song tells you, listen, I need a trumpet, or I don't need nothing, I'm an instrumental song. So that's the best point to reach. And then it goes by itself. So, and I'm just a media, which, you know, I just use the tools and bring it together, but the song rules.
Oh, What motivates you in a particular direction?
Oh, well, I'm a radio listener myself for years, for at least 20, 30, 40, I don't know. So there's always some interesting things going on, new music, old music, which inspires me right away. And then sometimes, even if you try to copy something, let's imagine you take Elvis, try to copy Elvis, and there's something completely different coming out at the end. But you start with that inspiration. And that's how I work. And I don't think that really somebody invents new music. I don't think that's possible. You know, there's so many music around in the train, the supermarket, and the airport. I can't really tell you, am I composing this or did I heard that just 2 days before somewhere?
Well, you say you're a radio consumer. Were you one of these young people who listened to all those pirate radio?
Yes, that was one of my favorite things to do. You know, like in summer when you have to go to bed while the sun's still shining because you're too small. It was the best to have that little transistor radio and switch to the channels. Beside the channels, the sounds that transistor radio was doing, the little swirls and sweeps and everything. It was like a synthesizer to me. That fascinates me. And you ask yourself, what kind of music is that? So, I grew up with that. So, I don't know the word in English, but it affects me. Es hat mich geprägt.
Let's listen to an example of a song that you wrote for your most recent album, Days of Twang. This is called Shadow of a Lie.
Spend some years in the shadow of life. I'll learn how to walk. I'll learn how to fly. Now there's someone in the system who wears my name. Yesterday's freedom.
Love to entertain ourselves. So a lot of people ask us, why don't you do that bossa nova drum and bass thing anymore? I said, I know how it works. It was fun to do that, but let me do some new things. Sometimes you lose audience, sometimes you lose a new audience. But I think the important thing on my side is to entertain myself and not jump on that track, which functions, rather go new ways and fail, but I think otherwise you get tired or you get, I don't know, I don't want to find out. You know, it's just like, it's a curious thing, you know.
Pete Baumgartner, otherwise known as The Faz, thank you very much.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
His next album, Tales of Truth, releases on April 30th. And you can listen to full songs by The Faz at our music website. Go to npr.org/music. This is Weekend Edition. Scott Simon will be back next week. I'm John Itzie.
Back now with Day to Day. You know, if you have kids, it's really hard to listen to Baby Beluga or Apples and Bananas more than, 100 times. Sorry, Rafi. But music producer Andy Hurwitz has made it his mission to bring genres like salsa and jazz from the adult world into the kid world with his Baby Loves music series.
So his earlier CD releases included Baby Loves Disco and Baby Loves Jazz, and the musicians that collaborate on them are all top-notch. For his latest in the series, Baby Loves Hip Hop, Andy Hurwitz again brought together some major artists from the hip-hop world. And NPR's Christopher Johnson took the CD on a play date. And here's what happened.
Here come the T-Rex. Baby Loves Hip Hop is all about helping your preschooler get his or her prehistoric party on. The concept album tells the story, in words and song, of five kid dinosaurs that form a rap group called the Dino Five. Let's meet the crew.
Here we come, the Dino Five. T-Rex, you there?
Right by your side.
Tracy, you okay?
I'm doing fine. Billy, are you ready?
Just give me the sign.
But where's Tio?
Right here.
Yo, DJ.
Making sure everything's clear.
Tracy.
T-Rex.
Billy.
Tio.
DJ.
The Dino Five. Here we go.
To form the Dino Five, Andy Hurwitz assembled an A-team of hip-hop veterans. Remember Diggable Planets? They took home a Grammy in 94 for a song subtitled Cool Like That. Well, their female MC Ladybug Mecca is in the house as Tracy Triceratops. Mech remembers when Andy asked her to come on board.
I was with it right away. You know, I've always been wanting to do a kids album. I have kids of my own. So it was great because I was able to use them, you know, as my little test guys.
Could the children of a rap pioneer really get down to some Baby Loves Hip Hop?
What, are you kidding? I dance all through the house. We rhyme it together while I'm cooking, while we're cleaning. Oh, yeah, every day. It's not a joke.
Let's jump.
When it's too hot outside, we jump in the pool. We jump all day and night and jump after school. I love to jump and I can jump for many days. Can we jump on mommy's bed and couch? No way, so let's jump.
It's absolutely child tested.
Andy's got kids too, a 4- and a 6-year-old.
They totally loved it. I knew it was on when they started this, like, randomly rapping the words, you know, out of nowhere.
Man, with huge teeth and a massive body. Kids whisper when they ask about me. I'm always alone cause I'm big and bulky. They think that I'm mean and their looks insult me, but I look scary and I do eat meat. I got huge teeth and I got big feet. I got sharp claws, voice deep when I speak. But I got a stuffed bunny and I think that he's neat.
Andy called on hip-hop legend Prince Paul to help put the music together. Paul's been making power moves in the rap world since hip-hop itself was preschool age. He's produced for De La Soul, The RZA, and Living Color guitarist Vernon Reed.
Paul can span genres from, you know, from jazz to funk to hip-hop. And so if you say kids, it's not a problem for him. And after working with him, you kind of get the feeling he's just a big kid anyway. So I think that comes natural.
Hey, why don't you quit all that noise you're making? Those big old feet, man, they must be aching.
Look at you with your nasty claws. So sharp when you walk, you could claw through the floor.
Yeah, you woke up the neighborhood. You moved the couch and where the table stood.
Man, Billy, you can say whatever. Your room wasn't that clean. I made it look better.
Man, your head's so...
Baby Loves Hip Hop packs more than musical weight. Slam poetry superstar Ursula Rucker narrates the storyline. She plays a mom reading the Dino Five bedtime story to her little girl.
They played dinosaur hip-hop a lot after school. They really loved the music and thought it was cool.
But before passing this disc its full props, there was still one question I had to answer. Could the Dino Five's Jurassic Jams lock in the attention of a group of preschoolers? I talked my fellow producer Kenya Young into hosting a listening party at her apartment near Los Angeles. She's got a couple of very energetic little boys, and she invited about a half dozen of their friends over. I came through with the string cheese and juice boxes, because, you know, we had to get the party started right.
You ready?
Daddy.
Come
here.
After a little climbing on the furniture, on me, and on each other, everybody settled down, and it was go time for the Dino Five. Now I'm talking about instant madness. The kids went berserk. Kenya's living room became part mosh pit, part Kitty Crump session. Elbows and legs went flying. Some of the smaller kids became casualties of that high-energy dance-off. Then, as quickly as the party got started, it was over. After only about 3 minutes, the kids had moved on. But before he left the living room, 4-year-old Anthony grabbed the mic to make his case.
It's too long. It's too long.
The mother said amen to that. They explained that their kids liked the music and would have stuck around if it was all just songs. But Mom Sarita Sharp said it was all the talking that lost them.
If it would have caught them, they would have stuck around. Yeah. But they were lost, like, and kids will tell you, if you don't catch me in the first couple minutes, I'm out.
Now, it could be that Baby Loves Hip Hop was built more for the family car than the family room. Kids kind of have to sit and listen when they're in the ride. Plus, Andy says that's where you get to feel the beats that make this a certified hip-hop album.
I had it in my car, and I was listening to that song, What About 10? Okay. And it was, like, bumping my whole
car. It bumps,
was
yeah,
vibrating.
I was going to say that. It definitely bumps.
Yeah, What About 10 is a friend of mine.
But What About 10, just one more time.
In the end, there's only really one way to know for sure. Bump Baby Loves Hip-Hop for your preschooler and see how he or she gets down. And if you make it a group thing, hit me up. I'm always down for Dino 5 and unlimited juice boxes. Christopher Johnson, NPR News.
Now let's have fun. Just like me and you. Birds sitting in a tree. Ants crawling on the floor.
You can hear more songs from Baby Loves Hip Hop at our music website, npr.org/music.
Ducks swimming in the lake. I'm feeling fine, but what about 10 it got left behind?
Yeah, What About 10 is a friend of mine.
But What About 10, just one more time.
One. Let's play under the sun.
Two.
Friends like me and you.
Three.
Come rhyme with me.
Four.
Jump on the floor.
Five.
Throw your hands in the sky.
Six.
Shake them like this.
Madonna, the former Material Girl, turns 50 this summer, and she's got a new studio album, her 11th. It's called Hard Candy. It's not released until next week, but today Madonna is offering a preview on her MySpace page. Our critic Tom Moon listened to the album online, and he says she is doing everything possible to stay musically relevant.
You want to know how twisted pop music has become? Madonna, superstar and brand, icon and mogul, is begging for a hit. That's the first verse from 4 Minutes, Madonna's new single. It's an airtight, spit-polished production, loaded with current stars, designed to send the message that Madonna still matters.
If you feel it, it must be real, just say the word and I'ma give you what you want.
Unlike some of Madonna's career highlights, this album takes no chances. She's recycling what's worked for other artists recently, a beat from producer Timbaland, a marching band like the one used by Kanye West, and a vocal cameo from Justin Timberlake. Beyond that single, there are several high-revving dance tracks that just might make you forget that Madonna's coming up on the half-century mark. There's Candy Shop, an electrobeat bonbon in which Madonna celebrates her eternal hotness. She keeps talking about how her sugar is raw, and after the first few times, you can't miss the faintest hint of desperation. She sounds like she's trying to convince herself and trying way too hard.
Madonna's new album, Hard Candy, is in stores next week. Our reviewer is Tom Moon.